Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. We're going to read the word this morning, and then we're going to join with Samantha and our children who are going to be invited to come forward to help celebrate this word. It's from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Listen for the word of the Lord. So then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, I'd like you to think about walls for a moment. I have five sermons for you, by the way. Five very brief sermons. Together, it's sort of a long sermon, but, you know, five brief parts about walls, about the walls that divide us, about the walls that we build knowingly and unknowingly, and the walls we support that other people have built, our parents, our grandparents, the generations that come before us. And I'm not talking about, you know, the good walls. I'm talking about the walls that divide us, the walls that separate us from people. Think about those walls. Think about those walls. The writer of Ephesians, we'll call him Paul. It probably wasn't Paul, probably a disciple of Paul who wrote after Paul, but we'll say Paul. Paul says it well. He says there's a dividing wall that's made out of the bricks of our hostility. And hostility isn't just hatred. Hostility comes out of anxiety. It comes out of worry. It comes out of fractiousness, not just pure hatred, but out of the things that make us anxious. From this anxiety comes a kind of hardened hostility, and with it we build walls, Paul says. The wall is solid, it's high, it's divisive, and there are many of them, casting long shadows, walls. Walls that divide. Paul talks about the deep rift between two people in his day, the Gentiles and the Jews. And he lifts a single name as one person who bridges the wall, who spans the wall that divides them. That name is Jesus. For Jesus is our peace, Paul writes. In his flesh he has made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one, and he has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. Jesus is our peace. Jesus breaks down the walls that divide. The left, the right, the high, the low, the black, the white, the pro, the con. All of these walls, Jesus has the capacity in his flesh, because of the cross, to break down. So five sermons. These are little snippets of where I have seen the dividing walls of hostility coming down. Last week, we said goodbye to our associate pastor, Eric Corbin. And Eric's call here a few years ago, and now his call to head north to Woodstock, Illinois, reminds me that God equips people to answer God's call. And God sends people wherever God will to do God's work, to build God's peace, to chip away at the walls that divide us. This church has nurtured how many pastors in the last 170 some odd years? Any guesses? More than 100 pastors. That's close. 44 pastors. And thank you, by the way, for being honest. I really appreciate that. 44 pastors, associate pastors, interim pastors, parish associate pastors, all of whom were imperfect people, minus one. All of whom were imperfect people that God has perfectly used to chip away the walls that divide us. You've elected hundreds of elders to serve, about 200, a little more. Dozens of amateur preachers to preach, committed lay pastors to pastor. Since 1962, our senior high school kids, and since 1992, our senior citizens, and I say our senior citizens, in 1992 they weren't our senior citizens, but they have led mission trips. Mission Possible is what I'm talking about. Mission Possible went on its first trip in 1992, and our kids went on their first mission trip in 1962. And they've taken us all around the country. They've taken us around the country with us, because even if we didn't go, we were praying for them. We were paying for those trips. We were lifting those people up by name in those far-off places. Otterville, Missouri. Seneca Nation, New York. Sitka, Alaska, Port Deposit, Maryland. Remember those places? Gene, do you remember those places? Sitka and Port Deposit and Otterville and Seneca Nation? These are not just statistics that I'm sharing, these numbers, but they're stories. These people and these trips are real people who have been led by God and supported by you to dismantle the walls that divide us. That's what they're about. Where have you seen the dividing walls of hostility coming down? Mindy Watts Ellison, our CYF team, including Samantha and Blaze and Mary Gritton, they have been bringing us together last week and the next three at Hessel Park. If you've missed it, you've missed a lot of fun. We gather together for a Bible study, for lunch, and for holy play. Last week, Mindy got us going on a contest. The contest was, there was a pie plate filled with 15 dried navy beans. And you had to get those 15 dried navy beans from this pie plate to this pie plate. How did you do it? With chopsticks. The little children had the most trouble. We gathered round the tables. We shouted and we cheered for one another. Noni Ledbetter beat us all by 4 seconds. She is the great Navy Bean migration champion. Now, it was humid, but it was dry. We were under the pavilion. We were laughing together. We had peanut butter on our cheeks, and we were enjoying fellowship together. And do you know what was happening? Because I sat back a little bit and I watched. What was happening was the crumble of bricks. It was the dividing wall that separates people, and it was coming down mainly because, I have to say, the Navy Bean game. It was the Navy Bean game that started it. But then the other games, they contributed as well. Members and visitors who had been separated began to come together because the wall got lower. And natives and immigrants and children and adults, all those walls started to come down. Strangers from strangers, the walls began to tumble down. When's the last time you saw walls coming down? We have a back-to-school fair for immigrants on July 31st. Come there and help out and watch and see if you notice something happening with the walls that divide us. Last week I heard a novelist, Nathan Englander, share a story about when the Berlin Wall was coming down. He decided he wanted to be there, a devout Jew in the world. He cared a lot about the Eastern Bloc, and so he traveled there with another college friend. They were on a college break, and they piled into a train one night very late. He wanted to take the temperature of Eastern Europe as he headed west. He wanted to see what was going on with his own eyes. He didn't want to read about it. So as the Berlin was coming, as the Berlin Wall was coming down, he was on a train deep in Eastern Europe, and they got on the train one night very late, and the compartment for which he had a ticket, he and his friend, was completely filled with immigrants racing towards that wall. So he went to another compartment, and a large family with children and a mom and dad, they made room for these two college kids. The people on that train were trying to get out because the wall had come down in one day, but they were afraid, naturally, that the wall could just as quickly go back up. So they were looking to make it to the West, to these ideals and ideas they had heard about freedom. And they had the clothes on their back and things stuck in big suitcases. That's all they had, and they were running. And these college kids were on vacation. The family in that compartment on that train that night saw that these young men were hungry. And these immigrants who had really nothing except what they could carry, and they were going to only God knew where, shared with them their food. And they ate that night in that train, in that compartment, on their way through the darkness to the crack in the wall in Berlin. I don't know if that family was Muslim or Taoist or Jainist or Jewish or Christian or agnostic, but I do know that Jesus was in that compartment on that night with those people. Where have you seen walls of hostility that divide people? Where have you seen them coming down? Where have you worked yourself in bringing those walls down? What have you done to lower the walls so that we all have a better view? Your spiritual formation team is planning another Faith in the Real World this fall. Faith in the Real World, as you know, is offered during the Sunday School Hour. We often meet here in the sanctuary because we have a larger than usual crowd. We invite people within our church and within our community to come and tell us about their faith and about how their faith motivates what they do in life, how their faith gives them the gas to do what it is they do. So we're asking Brian Serafim, the police chief in Urbana, to come. I had lunch with him last week or the week before, or breakfast rather. And he shared with me this story that I'm going to share with you, with his permission. He says, you know, when the police are called out, when somebody dials 911, they don't have good news to share. They're not inviting them over to a picnic. When 911 is dialed, tensions are very high, and things are very uneasy and upended. And into that, the police come, not knowing fully what to expect, but not expecting the best thing often. And sometimes they step into such horrible things. He says, by the time the police get there, it's awfully late in the process. But he said, whenever people like you and me do something early in the process, sometimes it eliminates walls before they're even built. For example, the way we might help young mothers with prenatal care. That's really early in the process, helping not to build the walls that otherwise will divide us. Whenever we get involved with preschool programs like Head Start, we are taking down the walls that are being built up. Dream House in our campus, sponsoring 4 summer camps this year. 62 kids on our campus, Monday through Friday. Dream House is in the business of breaking down walls, as you know, breaking and disrupting the school-to-prison pipeline. Job programs, they cut holes and doors and windows into walls. The Courage Connection gives battered women who are cowering behind walls a respite, a place to step out into the light of day safely, because you provide the arms around which these women can stand tall with their children. Safe House is in the business of breaking down the walls of addiction. And our raindrop offering this July, dollar by dollar, is going to help contribute to the program of Safe House, supporting these men as they try today, maybe not tomorrow or the next day, they're thinking only about today, today their sobriety, today their freedom from drugs, today their willingness to plug in to life around them. It's about breaking down the walls. When's the last time you took a swing at those walls? Pull out your checkbook, Jake says, and write a big check. And that's one way that the world knows who we are and what we endeavor to do sacrificially. From Cuba, the news is bleak this week and last week and the week before and the last 6 or 7. The walls are very high. People are taking to the streets because they are starving. Now, I want you to pause for a moment and think of the people you know, for those of you who've been. Look into their eyes. Do you remember their hospitality, the way they welcomed you? It is they who can't find much at the grocery, and it is they who can't afford prices, which have gone up 5 times. Salaries, I'm told, have gone up a little. Pastor Daniel Izquierdo used to make $24 a month. Don't get any ideas. $24 a month. He might be making a little more now, but no one can afford food. They're taking to the streets. This does not happen in Cuba. It does not. It hasn't happened in 34 years in Cuba. Medical supplies are limited. Danielle has been wearing a catheter since April for a prostate problem that would have been resolved in this country in 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, since April, because they lack the supplies, they lack the drugs. They don't lack the expertise, but they lack the material resources to care for him. So we're praying for our sister church in Luyano. Internet has been down. Yesterday it was up. Danielle wrote and said that no one's in the streets now, but the tension is high. I asked him if I could share that embarrassing story of the catheter for all these months, and he said, "For God's sake, please do." The Presbyterian Reformed Church in Cuba shared this statement with its churches and its partner churches around that country and around ours, really around the world. This was June 26. The church rejects all forms of violence, whether verbal, physical, or in any of its expressions, as a presumed way to solve conflicts. The church supports all initiatives, governmental or otherwise, that promote justice, equality, and the rights of all people and creation, particularly those that defend the rights of sectors that have been discriminated against or silenced in the social arena. The church prays to God that we may be agents of reconciliation, peace, and love, fruits of the Spirit in whom we are and in whom we move. 3 weeks later, July 13th, the Presbyterian Reformed Church in Cuba shared this statement. We affirm that the gospel we have been called to preach will always be good news for the world, justice and peace for the least of these, an abundant life for all creation. For this, we will continue to work tirelessly. Our brothers and sister in Cuba are working tirelessly, but they are tired. They are tired and calling upon us to lift them in prayer. Jesus is with tired people. Jesus is with the tired people there. Jesus is working with them. Jesus is walking with them. Jesus is praying with them. Jesus is standing in food lines with them. Jesus is worshiping with them. And those walls are coming down when human hospitality is shared from person to person. Paul says Jesus is our peace. In his flesh, he has made all groups into one and broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. Jesus' church, in Jesus' name, has been about the business of knocking down walls from the very beginning, by the grace of God. Every chance we get, we chip away at the walls that divide us. When we find arrogance, we offer humility. Where we find anger, we take a breath and we try an offering of kindness. Where we find hate, we don't resort to deeper, stronger, angrier hate. We resort to love. When we find self-centeredness, we offer service to those around us. Because of God's grace, hostility and fear and apathy will not paralyze us. And no more will we allow walls to block out the sun. We just won't stand for it. We haven't stood for it yet. We're not going to start now. Barriers will not keep us from shaking hands. COVID will not keep us from touching elbows. Walls will not keep us from embracing a new day together as brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors. The image Paul uses to drive this point home is the cross. All of that division and all of that hate always leads to a place of desolation and death. It always leads outside of town to a hill called Golgotha. And Jesus took all of that anxiety and that fear and that ugliness and allowed it to be nailed to the cross with him. And so in the light of resurrection, this cross, this empty cross, reminds us that death did not have the final word. And neither will division and hostility. Partly because you are here. And you won't stand for it. And you'll do what you can do in your own way to stand up against those walls that divide and hurt and exclude. You have your whole lives already done that. And you'll continue, finding new ways perhaps. By the grace of God, we insist that these walls not divide us, and we insist that we won't build them anymore. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.